You must have heard the story about the vicar who got up to preach one Sunday morning, and he'd had one of those weeks. And as he said the opening prayer, he said, "You know, folks, I just don't know where to start the sermon this morning. It's been one of those dreadful weeks." And a voice at the back called out, "Start near the end." So I'm going to watch the clock. Well, here you are at the end of this series on Peter. So what has God been saying to you through this summer month? Through Peter, through the words that have been preached here, through the worship, through the holidays, through the gardening, through all the things that we do when the children are around at this time of year. What has God been saying to you? I believe that God is speaking the whole time. And he wants to encourage us, and I hope by the end of this morning that as we look at the ministry of Peter and his life, you'll be encouraged and you can go away feeling encouraged. But who is the real Peter? Who is the real me and you, for that matter? One of the better TV programs has got to be Who Do You Think You Are? The one this week wasn't too clever, was it, with Gary Lineker? But usually it's a pretty good program. And if you don't know it, if you haven't read about it, it's where celebrities trace their family tree and there's all sorts of surprises, some they want to find out, some that they don't. So that's, if you like, my theme this morning. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? Well, I'm a Christian minister. I love the Lord. I still love to preach. I still love to watch rugby union. I still love music. I like heavy rock, but I also like classical music too. I feel I'm pretty trendy because I have an iPad. But I still use a fountain pen. Is there anybody else like that here? Yes, there's some hands going up. So I try to think I'm sort of with it. But who is the real me? What are my strengths and my weaknesses? Because depending on who you speak to, you will get a different story. It was the same with Peter. And we really can identify with Peter. Well, I hope we can. When we look at Peter, we see the strengths and the weaknesses. When we see Peter in that New Testament passage we had read for us, in his letter, we see a very different Peter than when we first encounter him in the Gospels. We see him where he says, God opposes the proud. That he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, he says. Now, this isn't the Peter that we read about in the Gospels, is it? It was completely the opposite. Why the change? And I hope just in a few minutes we can trace that change. Because I believe there isn't just one Peter, there's actually four. Might be more, but I've worked it out to four. And there's four versions of me. And if you're honest, I think there might be four versions of you too. So, let's try and trace that. Let's go back to first century Judea. We go with us, or we take with us our baggage from the 21st century. We go back 2,000 years and we explore. What insights can we bring back to us, with us? Jesus appears. Jesus of Nazareth appears on the sea at Galilee. There they are fishing. Matthew chapter 4. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And without a thought, Peter just drops everything and off he goes. And that's the first Peter we encounter, isn't it? Sure enough, without a thought, this local boy, not very well educated, a fisherman, a married man, apparently without a thought, just leaves everything behind and follows. That's the first Peter. The Peter that everybody else saw. The Peter they'd known all his life. They'd grown up with him. They'd worked with him. They'd lived next door to him. He was always on the front row. He was always the one ready to step out where others will think twice. He was impetuous. He was the action man. Oh, that's just Peter, they would say. You know what Peter's like. Anything new, he'll give it a try. And I bet he was a real problem for his friends at some times. But just like Peter, wherever you and I go, people get a glimpse of us, don't they? And it's always not quite the full picture. The folk you see day by day, who see you in a particular way, your place of work, outside the school, walking down the avenue, pushing the trolley around Sainsbury's. People recognise you and see you in certain ways, walking up the pathway into church Sunday by Sunday. They get another glimpse of me and you, and they make their decisions on what they see. But it's only part of the picture. You and I, we might be very different, and people see us in very different ways. They will see me, Frank, married to Jenny, or he's a retired clergyman. See him with a dog collar on sometimes, and he's always going off to the Middle East. I don't know quite what he does, but he's off in the Middle East doing something. They're a nice enough couple, and people have this sort of superficial view. He's a father, he's a grandfather, and he's still into sport and this sort of thing. But they only see part of the picture. And it's amazing how people only see part of the picture, isn't it? A few years ago, maybe 4 years ago, we were in Jerusalem. And I was stood outside the Garden Tomb, and if you know that place, there's a lane leads down to the main road. And two men in black clerical shirts were walking up the lane towards me, and I recognised one. He was my previous archdeacon. And as he got closer, I saw him smile and he recognised me. And the other cleric with him was this sort of really quite notable scholar from the cathedral. And he smiled and we shook hands and embraced each other. He said, "It's great to see you." Turned to his friend and said, "This is Richard's dad." You see, you've had that as well, haven't you? People see you in certain ways. They don't see the full picture. The lovely story about one of our grandchildren, Ben, Tim's second son, 3 or 4 years ago. I got the job of picking them up from school. The four grandchildren in three different schools. I didn't know my way around here at all. So I picked Ben up, and he said, "I'll sit in the front, Grandad. I'll show you where to go." So he sat in the front. He was very precise. "You go down here, Grandad, and you turn right, and you turn left, and you go up this hill." And he was brilliant. And then he said, "And don't forget, Grandad, when there's a red light, you stop." And I thought, how old does he think I am? Or worse still, have I just driven through one? So all the time, people look at us like they looked at Peter, and they see different things. So who do you think you are this morning? Who do you think you are? There's another Peter, isn't there? There's a Peter that Peter liked to see himself as. The Peter that he thought, yes, this is me. Throughout the Gospels, Peter is at the front, isn't he? And we read through Matthew's Gospel. He's the one who's asking questions. He's the one who wants to, when there's a long silence, he'll ask a question. He's there at the Transfiguration. He wants to get involved. "Let's build some booths, Lord." He wants to be on the front row again. He sees and gets involved in miracles and healings. This fisherman. He's given status. He becomes an apostle. He walks on water. He might sink, but he stepped out and walked on water. In Matthew 16, we read at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus says, and if you know the context of that passage in Caesarea Philippi, if you've been there, it's at Dan. There's a great big cliff at Dan where they shelled, where they will worship different idols. And they must have been stood there, and Jesus must have thought, it's time these guys realised who I am. And he was virtually saying, okay, now look at these idols on the cliffside here, but who am I? And it's Peter, isn't it? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Again, the first one with the answer involved. This was Peter, the Peter he wanted other people to see. And isn't that what we do? It's what I do, isn't it? I almost create a persona I sort of reinvent myself for different situations. Can anybody relate to that? You don't have to put your hands up, but we do, don't we? It's I want others to see a loving husband, a dad, a granddad who really cares for the family, still in ministry, but with this breadth of interest so I can relate in real life. The kind, the loving, sociable, generous, hard-working Frank, who might be getting on in years but still feels trendy and wears suede shoes and ties. So, on the train, the place of work, on the avenue, walking around Sainsbury's, walking through the church garden, what persona do we, dare I say, we put on our Sunday best, don't we? We might be in the days of dressing down on a Sunday, because I was in the days of Sunday best, and I look around, there's a few with white hair like me, so you know what I mean by that. But we adopt a persona. Who do you think you are? Who's the real me? Who's the real you? Who is the real Peter? Because there's another Peter. The Peter that he knew he really was. The Peter that showed himself that moment as he denied Jesus three times. And that verse that touches your heart. He went away and he wept bitterly. That was the real Peter who knew what he was really like. The Peter was basically cowardly, dangerously impulsive, ignorant, in your face, loud. All those things designed to cover up those weaknesses. And that's the same as you and I, isn't it? In certain environments, the real me, the real you comes out. We put on a face, we put on a persona, and the real Frank, the real you, gets hidden. Because we're often afraid what others might think of us. And we all forget, don't we, the ones closest to us know us the best. I don't know about you, I can identify with this Peter. I really can. The real Frank. And there are times, and I can be honest with you because we're family. You may have had this experience. For whatever reason, you find yourself awake, and it's always about 3:25 in the morning, isn't it? Can you relate to that? And for whatever reason, you just can't get off again. And it all starts ticking. Did I really say that? Did I really do that? And I know I've left it at the foot of the cross more than once. But in those quiet moments of the soul, we see ourselves as we really are. And we need to keep going to the foot of the cross. It's like Peter. Peter, as others saw him, Peter as he liked to see himself, and Peter as he really was. Now put your name in those three things. Who do you think you are? But then there's another Peter. The Peter that Jesus saw. Now this is the key thing, isn't it? With the strengths and the weaknesses, the frailties, the different identities, all that he was, Jesus was aware of all that. But Jesus also saw the Peter as he could be, with his potential. The Peter that Jesus could make him. The coward would become courageous. The impulsive man could be patient. The loud mouth could be submissive. The ignorant fisherman could be enlightened. Jesus saw the true potential. He said, follow me. Follow me. Jesus could see that from the very beginning. Interesting, isn't it? At the end of John's Gospel, John 21, in that final dialogue between Jesus and Peter, what does he say? Go and shepherd my sheep. Did you pick that verse up in the epistle? Where he says, shepherd my flock. That had stayed with Peter from that moment to be the shepherd. Let's look at the change in Peter. And I hope this encourages you as it encourages me. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. You know the passage so well. It's worth looking at again. So much we can take from it. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit has fallen on all those believers meeting in Jerusalem. They were transformed. The rushing mighty wind. The speaking in other tongues. It says, devout men from all nations. Verse 12 says, they continued in amazement, saying to each other, what does this mean? What does this mean? Peter, standing by, raises his voice, answers their questions by preaching a sermon. This local boy, the fisherman, from out in the sticks, is down at the centre of Judaism at the temple, and he preaches a sermon from the prophet Joel. Verse 22 of Acts 2. Men of Israel, listen to these words. This was the uneducated man from 3 years earlier. 3 years. Met Jesus, followed him. He was one of the boys, but he was transformed. Verse 32. Preaching the death and the resurrection of Jesus. This Jesus God raised up again, and we are witnesses. Tremendous. Repent, that people say, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off. What a way Jesus had turned this man's life around. He's touched his life and changed it beyond recognition. Tremendous. So the people who see the superficial me, they see the people who see me, the one that I invent, the persona, and the me at 3:25 in the morning, Jesus can change all that. Transform weakness into strength. True potential. The same Peter. So, one other thing which I think says so much about Peter, just a bit later in Acts, if you've got it open, turn over to chapter 3. Beautiful passage where Peter's walking along outside the temple, and there's a lame man. And this says so much about the new Peter. Peter stops. The man's crying out. Peter stops. The man is begging. What does Peter say? Silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. He doesn't say, come over here and I'll lay hands on you. Come over here, I'll pray for you. In effect, he says, I have nothing, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And that's an indication of the change in Peter. And the change that can be changed for me and you. Where we'll leave all that behind, and it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. So who do you think you are? The great thing is we're all a work in progress, aren't we? None of us have arrived. We're a work in progress. Whatever people think about us, however we portray ourselves, whatever our weakness is, we are this work in progress. Less of us, more of Jesus. And that was the picture of Peter, wasn't it? More of Jesus. That's got to be the picture for me and you. Who do you think you are? It's more important what Jesus thinks than what we think or what anybody else thinks, isn't it? That's the bottom line from the story of Peter. It's more important what Jesus thinks. So, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage myself on this. Let's be encouraged. We are a work that's in progress and unfinished. He hasn't finished with us yet. Let's make it our prayer that God will so move by His Spirit in our lives that we will realise that true potential. Be a blessing to others, bring glory to His name. I'll end with a word that our eldest son Richard uses at the end of sermons, and I've only heard him preach two or three times in his present parish because we're all so busy, but he always ends sermons in the same way, and you have to sort of understand what he means. He'll get to the end, do a prayer, and then he'll say, "Don't forget, folks, TTT," and walks off, and they all smile. What's going on? So I asked him afterwards, I said, "What's this TTT business?" And he says, "Well, do you know, it means this time tomorrow." So, this time tomorrow, I know they're not back at school yet, but imagine, this time tomorrow, outside the school, on the train, at a place of work, coming through the church garden next Sunday, has Peter left a message for you and me? What is Peter saying about how God touched his life and how we can touch ours? So let us pray. So Father, we thank you that in our frailty you can still use us. Thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. We thank you for the example of godly men and women in this church down the years. Thank you for those who have been an inspiration to us. Father, in all these things, we just want to be more like Jesus. So touch our lives by your Spirit, that others might be truly blessed. And in all these things, we bring glory to your name. Amen.